This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. I am so honored today to have Michael Todd as my guest. He was on the cover of Charisma in the June-July 2020 issue, and I always do an interview with whoever we do on the cover. And there was a day when I wrote all the cover stories myself on Charisma. Of course, we don't do that anymore. Taylor Berglund wrote a magnificent story, and I wanted to share it with you, and we're going to get to know Michael Todd and just kind of talk about the article and talk about his ministry and find out why his church has just absolutely exploded, especially on the internet. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Michael Todd. I am happy to meet you. You and I have not met face-to-face, but you have a magnificent story. And over the years, we've covered what God is doing in the evangelical church, and more specifically in the charismatic Pentecostal movement. We have kept our eyes open for ministries that are just exploding. Over the years, we introduced everyone from Marilyn Hickey, believe it or not, all those years ago, to T.D. Jakes and just a lot of people. And when we heard about what was happening in Tulsa, it was like, oh, we got to find out about this and report it in Charisma. So I'm looking at the cover right now, a handsome picture. You got a smile a mile wide and a nice white jacket and a little bit of bling. And it just made a very good cover. And someone criticized us recently for having too many old white men on the cover. And I guess maybe we do, but hey, you're anything but. So you brought probably our readership down a whole generation.
Hey, Steve, man, I am so grateful to be on this podcast with you. Thankful for your leadership over the decades. And I'm excited to be doing this podcast with you and to allow all your listeners to get to know about what God is really doing in Little Tulsa, Oklahoma, man. So I'm excited.
Well, the cover says The Viral Church, How Michael Todd Uses the Internet to Fulfill Christ's Great Commission. And of course, the article itself does a deep dive and explains that. And when I do my newsletter, I'll have a link to the article itself, and of course, people can look it up online, but I want you to just kind of talk this through because you've got an amazing story. You are not most likely to succeed in the pastorate when you were in high school, were you?
Not at all. This was not a part of the 5-year plan, 10-year plan, or 50-year plan, you know? But God has a way of turning all of your experiences into a journey that leads you to where he wants you to be as long as you surrender and you say yes. And that's exactly what my story is.
And that's a story we need to get out because there are so many people that are kind of floundering, even people in the church or maybe kids that were raised in a good Christian home and they get to be teenagers and they don't really get the leadership they need. But, you know, that kind of stood out to me in our article about how, you know, you had been raised right, but, you know, when it came time for puberty and, you know, there were boys giving you material you shouldn't have been seeing and the church kind of wasn't there for you. Could you kind of explain your story?
Yeah, I think one of the things that happened to me, which is happening all over the world today, is that there is this idea that if we put our kids and our teenagers in church, then they will not be exposed to anything else. And that's just a lie. I mean, more than ever today, with everybody having the internet in their pocket and social media and all of these different things. And the sad thing about it is the topics that everybody is talking about, the church is silent about. Most of the things when it comes to relationships, when it comes to sex, when it comes to how to handle money, how to come back from making a bad decision. If you got into the things that the world offers you at an alarming rate, many times there's not many messages about it. There's not anybody sharing authentically about what they went through and how God redeemed them and the steps like that. And so what it does is it leaves a generation to figure it out. And that's what happened for me. I was in an amazing, my parents are phenomenal parents, but there were certain things that I was being exposed to and I didn't have the freedom to just come up and ask my parents or what it was, as well as nobody in my church was talking about it. So I got educated at a public school, a high school, and through BET and MTV and all of these different things that would talk about it. And what that did is it gave me the wrong foundation for things that God actually speaks about, but many times the church is silent on. And so I had to go on a journey of discovering who God was, what he said about me, my identity in Christ. I had to make mistakes, get the scars, hurt myself, hurt other people, and all of that other stuff. And I made a decision that if God ever wanted to use me, I would be what we say at Transformation Church is hot. I would be humble, open, and completely transparent to share what God has done in my life, in my wife's life, in my mind, and what he's still doing, so that it could potentially save people from what I didn't have and point people to Jesus, who is honestly the answer for everything that we're going through right now.
Boy, this is a message we need to get out. And, you know, it's just amazing how God took you on a path. You never went, according to the article, you never really went to Bible school and seminary. You started off in the sound ministry and did a good job and were promoted because of your musical gifts to being worship leader and so forth. And then you were working two jobs as a youth pastor at one church and the sound man and music leader at another church. Kind of walk us through this odyssey, because you know, again, this isn't normally the way that churches are planted or that they take off. And so, you know, as I saw in the article, there was a spark. There was something in you. You even tell how Stephen Furtick at one time sent you a long voicemail because he said, you know, you have the anointing on you. Kind of walk through that odyssey. Of course, the article itself goes into more depth, but I just think it's interesting hearing it from you.
Yeah, so what ended up happening was I was a music producer out of community college. I went to community college for about 6 months, had a huge career in education, and I just really knew that my thing was music. And I started pursuing music full time, and I had produced a conference, the music for a conference for a church called Greenwood Christian Center. And afterwards, they were like, hey, man, could you stay around and keep running sound? I knew the pastor, Pastor Gary McIntosh. I'd grown up around him and his children. And so I was like, yeah, anytime I'm in town, I'll run sound for the church. So I went to running sound for the church and just serving the ministry whenever I was in town. And the church went through a hard season, and they were giving me like some gas money, $25, $35. And the pastor came to me and said, hey, we're going through a hard season financially. We can't pay you anymore, but we understand if you can't run sound. I was like, no, y'all wasn't barely giving me any money anyway. Like, I wasn't doing it for the money. I'll keep serving. And that really blessed the pastor at that moment, because many people were leaving, but I didn't think anything of it. Kept serving a little while later, probably 6 more months into it. The music director of the church was leaving, and they knew I did music. And he was like, hey, would you kind of interim run our music department? And I was like, definitely, sure. It's easy. And we start going down this journey. And long story short, my parents start a church called Spirit and Truth Praise and Worship Center, Pastor Tommy and Brenda Todd. And I love my parents because the one thing about them, they're people of prayer, and they were in their 50s at the time, and God told them to start a church. Now, anybody that knows, church planning at 55 and 60 is not the vision, but my parents obeyed God, and I thank God for them, because I started helping my parents at their church on Sunday nights, and I was doing sound on Sunday mornings at Greenwood Christian Center. And God knew that the only way I would get into ministry for real is if my parents were the connection into it, because they had done ministry all their lives, and I already had a view about ministry, and I was just like, I'll just go out in the world and make money and be able to pay for conferences and mission trips and stuff like that. That was my philosophy of how I was going to participate in the church. And my mom came up to me one day in a real prophetic kind of voice and was like, you're supposed to do something with the youth of this church. I said, Mom, there's only 7 people that go to the church. The youth are my brothers. Like, this doesn't make sense. And she said, I'm telling you, you're supposed to do something with the youth. So that next week, we started meeting with the youth. It was seven youth. Four of them were my brothers. Two of them were my god brother and god sister, and one random person. We called it So Fly, Sold Out Free Life Youth. And God told me four things before I walked into that room. I didn't study. I didn't prepare because I didn't really take it seriously. But he said, be real. Tell on yourself. Don't judge them. Love them first. That was my only instructions, Steve. And what ended up happening is that youth group grew from seven people to 150 young people in 6 months. We had no sound system, no arcade, no nothing. I was just kind of rephrasing McGee and Me stories and Adventures of Odyssey stuff that I heard. Like I was just like taking principles from that stuff and just trying to make it relatable. And I was like, this is crazy that this is happening, but it's sad because it's not a real thing. Within a year, 250 young people were coming to the church, and there were only 20 adults coming to the church because this was a church plant. And I was like, wow, this is really something. Long story short, in this moment, the church I was running sound at in the mornings and the church that I was leading youth at night, I was in a staff meeting. I was like, man, these churches would really work together. Like they could come together and do something kingdom. Like my parents need some structure and all this other stuff. And this pastor needs some leadership that will support and undergird. And I felt like God said, say it. Like, and so I said it and they both were like, nah, that'll never work. 3 months later, I said it again. And they were like, well, let's talk. And June, I believe it was 4th, 2011, these churches merged together and became Better Together. And subsequently, I became the youth pastor at the church that I was running sound at. I know this is a wild story, but follow with me. And the first day we did So Fly at Greenwood Christian Center, 500 young people showed up.
Wow.
And
this was with no promotion. You didn't Instagram account. You didn't put it on Facebook. But the kids obviously brought their friends, they were obviously getting something out of it. What were they getting out of it? What were you seeing happening spiritually in those kids, other than the fact they just showed up?
You know when somebody runs a race, and then at the end of the race, they get water? And water may not be their favorite tasting drink, but it's the most nourishing at that moment. It was almost like the authenticity and the actual relevancy of relating actual things that they were going through to Jesus was like a drink of water for those young people. It was like, oh, wow, I can see how God loves me now. Oh, wow. Pastor Mike knows that song and he related it now to something that was in the Bible. It just made them feel seen, heard, and related to. And that opened their hearts enough to be able to, many of them, radically transform their lives. And so we go into this journey of just literally, I had no budget. The church was going through a hard financial time, had no budget, had no team. I had to raise up a 12-person leadership team that we ran internships and did all of this other stuff, had no formal training. I would just study and read books and go to conferences and just try to pick up everything, pray a whole bunch. And my heart was right behind it because I was really just trying to steward over what was placed in my hand. I had no agenda to go to the top. I never wanted a promotion because I thought I was going to leave and go to Hollywood or New York and do music. Like there was no like, okay, now if I get here, then I can get here. And within 3 years, I went from being the sound man to the youth pastor to the executive pastor of the church, helping the lead pastor form sermon series, getting into daily operations and budgets and all that other stuff. And then in 2014, the pastor came to me and said, I really believe that you're supposed to be the next leader of this church. I said, oh, no, I literally, my exact words even was, I don't like people that much. I could never be a pastor of a church. And he began to chronicle for me the things that I had been able to do in ministry that he had watched. And he said, that's what you will need to be a successful pastor. And I was like, well, maybe this is God. And I don't know. And so he said, but don't worry. if we were to do this, it'd be a 5-year plan. So in 2019, we would do the transition. So I'm sitting there like, okay, maybe that gives me time to go back to school, to do this, to do that, and go all this other stuff. Long story short, it was not even a year later. 2015, February 1st, me and my wife became the lead pastors of Transformation Church. And Stephen, all I can tell you is there was a supernatural divine grace that came over me and Natalie's life to be able to lead that church, which was a predominantly African-American church led at the time by a white leader. And God told me we had about 400 people coming to the church. And I stood up on that first day and I said what I felt like God told me. He said, this church is going to be a multi-ethnic church, a multi-generational church, a multiplying church, and a multi-campus church. And Stephen, we were none of those things, not one of them. And but I held on to the vision and the promise of God, and I began to declare it. And it's so crazy. You can go back and watch those messages on YouTube now. And we started doing that, that the work that I believe God called me to do. And it just began to teach me so much about leadership and so much about faithfulness and so much about changing and becoming who God's created me to be. And it started a trajectory that now is changing a lot of people's lives.
Well, obviously, you also have an anointing. And one of the things that you didn't mention and when you were talking about how God prepared you was speaking. And in Pentecostal charismatic circles, you can't be a leader unless you're a pretty good preacher. And that's probably even more true in the African-American community. So how did you make the transition from being sound man to being so powerful that your sermons have just gone crazy on YouTube? You know, I read the statistics. I don't have them in front of me, but it was like millions of people have watched. And I referred earlier to Stephen Furtick that was mentioned in that article in Charisma and on how he kind of stumbled across your sermon. And, you know, I'm just amazed how this transition happened because, you know, I'm a journalist and I've been covering this community. You know, I know of or know personally a whole lot of people who tried, you know, who had an odyssey that would have been different from yours, but it would have been, you know, they weren't really prepared for ministry and they got into ministry and they, you know, did the best they could and they have not had this kind of success. So there's some kind of anointing. And I'm just interested that my audience could maybe glean something that they could even use in their own lives, even though we're not all called to do, you know, multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multi-campus churches. What is that thing? How did you, you know, did God just supernaturally do this or did you believe it into existence? What happened?
Yeah, I think honestly, I'm a product of God preparing me in a different field and using me in the purpose that he called me to. And that's why I encourage people all the time, everybody that's listening, if you steward well over the season that you're in, you never know what God's preparing you for in a different season. So I'll go back to high school. They came up to me one day in my 11th grade year, and I was a class clown type of guy. And one of the best things that ever happened to me is meeting my wife because she challenged me to be a better student. And she's like, you're really smart, but sometimes you act really dumb. Like, and she was like always challenging me. And that challenge took me from being kind of an average student to like being in accelerated classes. And when I went into those accelerated classes, it made me see like, oh, wow, I have the ability to be able to learn at a high level. And what ended up happening was those accelerated classes allowed me to get in relationship with people around my school, which was a very diverse socioeconomic school as well as ethnically, to be able to learn that I could communicate with white people and black people and Hispanic people and the teachers and the janitor. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I'm just using it to my advantage to like not get detention or anything like that. And I begin to run for student council president. My 11th and 12th grade year, this was the start of leadership for me, is I was the student body president of my entire multi-ethnic, multi-school, you know what I'm saying? And what ended up happening from there is they asked me to start, this is crazy, Stephen, listen, they asked me to start leading all of the pep rallies on the weekend. So as we were preparing for football season and all that stuff, I would get up every Friday in front of 2,000 students, and I would lead them in praise, shouting, cheering for our team. I would make them laugh. I would have to give announcements. I would have to do this. And looking back on my life, it's so funny how God put me in that position in front of people that would get me used to being able to communicate something in front of a very diverse group of people. And I think that was the seed part that allows me now to be able to stand in front of all different types of audiences, different types of denominations, different types of backgrounds, sometimes being the only speck of pepper in an entire sea of my white brothers and sisters, and feel completely comfortable to share the greatest news on planet Earth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that was the start of the leadership and getting comfortable. I think this path that I've been on has been one of obedience. When I became the pastor of the church, I began to pray and ask God, okay, this is way out of my league. What am I supposed to do? And one of the first instructions that I feel like I got so strong from God was to buy cameras for our church. And I know for most people, that does not seem like a God instruction. You know what I'm saying? And for many of the people that went to the church at that time, they thought it was an immature kid making a decision to go with technology. And they left the church. And I knew it was God. It didn't make sense at the time. And there was no results at the time. And that's why I always encourage people, like, you cannot look at the results at the moment of what God is asking you to do, because it may be for a different season. And that's what it was for us. So 6 months into me being the lead pastor of the church, we begin to record all of the messages and just put them on YouTube. And honestly, there was no traction. There was about 50 people that watched it every week, and most of them were my mother. And she was just excited.
That's funny.
She was like, that's my baby. And what ended up happening was, for 2.5 years, no traction, just faithfulness, just consistency, just celebrating the wins with our team. We had 350 people in service and another 100 online. And our attendance number was 450 this week. I mean, we were just using it as ammunition to keep doing what God told us to do. And on September 2017, I preached a series called Relationship Goals. And when I preached this series, it wasn't thinking it was going to go viral or do anything. It was just being faithful, and we put it online. And 4 months later, in December, there was a young lady that we just found. She's not famous or anything like that. Shout out to you, Ashley, if you're watching the podcast or listening to the podcast. She put a 2-minute clip on Twitter. And that 2-minute clip from the first message of Relationship Goals called Before the Person, it got that 2-minute clip got 48 million. I mean, in 48 hours, it got 2 million views and went crazy in 48 hours. And so we didn't even have a working church website at the time, Stephen. And so when people typed in Michael Todd relationship goals, it took them straight to YouTube. And I know on that day, God was like, see, I told you. Like,
wow.
It was like just obedience. They watched the 8-part series like Netflix. They binge watched it. And we went from 1,800 YouTube subscribers to almost over 200,000 in 60 days. I mean, it was like a frenzy. I had 4,000 Instagram followers, and I was gaining 10,000 Instagram followers every single day. And I was like, what is going on? I didn't know what was happening. I know the movie Black Panther had just came out, and my name is Michael A. Todd. I thought they thought I was Michael B. Jordan. I thought it was just a confusion everywhere. And it was God divinely orchestrating something that he wanted to happen. And as we watched that, people watched that relationship go series, and they found then like 2 years worth of content on relationships, on marriage, on finances, on healing, on all of these different things. And so they just begin to share them with their friends. There's messages out there on like clips on Facebook that have in the double digit millions of views. And that first message before the person on relationship goals, it's 55 minutes long. It has 7.3 million views on YouTube. And it's just one of those things that, you know, it was God's divine hand, and but it was him in the midst of our faithfulness. And that's what I would encourage everybody in, no matter if you're a business leader, you're a single mother, you're the head of your Bible study, or you're working in church, you need to know that God is not looking at some big moment where he wants to just do these magical things without a long runway of faithfulness. There's no way that this would have happened if we wouldn't have been consistent when there was no results. And there's somebody that's listening right now that needs to be encouraged that your faithfulness is preparing in another season your fruitfulness. And there's so many people that are giving up right now because they don't see the fruitfulness. But I hope this story and this moment that you're listening encourages you to be faithful, because faithful always leads to fruitful. And that's what God did for us.
Boy, that is prophetic. You know, there are people that are listening that needed to hear that. And I have so many other questions I want to ask you, and this podcast is longer than normal. You know, people have short attention spans. So I want to do another podcast on some of the other issues. It'll make it easier for people to, you know, kind of decide what they want to listen to. But as we wrap this up, I'm going to ask you to pray for our listeners. And I also want to encourage people to go to charismamagazine.com, where they can read the article, where you can subscribe to Charisma. You need good Christian material in your home. Charisma has been around a long time, covering ministries and what God is doing and how to come against Satan and how to navigate all these all this turmoil in our culture. And I don't very often push the magazine, but I just want to remind people that even in this day of digital, people still want ink on paper, even though we have also jumped into the digital world, which is actually what I want to really focus on, how everything is going virtual in our next podcast. So be sure to tune in to the next podcast if you're listening to this one. You know, people will be listening to this for months and months and months. And also, just check out Charisma. You know, there are some ministries that will say, you know, you need to support us with a donation. We don't do that. The way you support our ministry and the kind of Christian journalism we do is by subscribing. It's not that expensive. It's just something that I think that you need to do. And of course, over the years, we've had millions of subscribers and are continuing to do the vision that God put in my heart all these years ago, just in new ways. And it's covering ministries like Michael Todd. So, Pastor, would you wrap up this podcast? In fact, we'll just end the podcast with your prayer.
Let's do it. Father, I just thank you for this amazing day that these listeners are watching it. You ordained for them to listen and hear this at this time for this moment. And you want them to know that what they are doing has so much to do with what you are doing in their life for the future. God, anybody who feels discouraged right now, or anybody who is getting weary in doing and being faithful, I thank you, Father God, that you would renew their strength and let them know that their seeds that they're sowing, their kindness, their acts of service, their showing up day in and day out is producing the type of character that is like you, that will in time begin to make them fruitful. God, they will reap a harvest in due season. So we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you for this podcast, for this entire organization, and for those listeners, Father, who will be encouraged today to keep going, to keep and stay faithful, and be everything you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, we agree. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.